Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need. Whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding, we always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life, really my fashion the most, but of course, home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Heal Squad.
I like to say that hair is a woman's best accessory, and thanks to my friends at Way, they make it possible to have good hair days every day. Let me tell you, Way's hair oil has become a game changer in my hair care routine. So if you're ready to have good hair days every single day, you got to check out Way. Head over to the Way, theouai.com to check out their products. And here's a little treat for you guys. Use the promo code Heal Squad for 15% off your purchase. Yep, the Way, theouai.com, promo code Heal Squad for 15% off.
Hey everyone, it's Kelsey.
And Jeff, and we are here to tell you a bit about our partner, Anchor. We know that you're a fan of this podcast, and maybe you've thought, hey, I want to make a podcast too.
Well, we have great news for you guys. We want to tell you all about Anchor. It's the easiest way to make a podcast for a few reasons, but to start out, it's free.
Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer.
Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many more.
Plus, you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership.
It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place.
So, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Do it, you guys, and enjoy the show.
I'm on a journey to get better, and I want to do it with you. And I'm not just focusing on physical health. I'm focusing on everything: emotional wellness, spirituality, finances, relationships, and so much more. Every week, it will be my personal goal to bring us, the world's leading healers, experts, and game changers, to share groundbreaking secrets and tips to getting better in all areas of life. Getting better isn't easy, but it's a whole lot easier when we can do it together. Welcome to Better Together with me, Maria Menounos.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Better Together. It is Thursday, May 14th, and we are here because when we know better, we do better. When you know better, you get better.
I want to know better.
I want to know better, too.
I should really know better.
You really should know better, Stephen. Our quote of the day, peace is the result of retraining your mind to process life as it is, rather than as you think it should be. Wayne Dyer, I love this. Peace is the result of retraining your mind to process life as it is, rather than as you think it should be.
Live in the present, not the future.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but also being content, right, is where peace is. Like, I always laugh with Kevin because, like, why, you know, this backyard of shit, or this, you know, we need to redo this, or we need to redo that. I'm like, Kevin, you can never just be happy. Nothing is ever good enough. Everything always is, you know, needing upgrading or to be better. And I'm like, I can just kind of like be good. I'm like, everything's fine. And then he points it out, and then you start to get OCD like him too about this stuff. Anyhow, thank you guys for joining us, and thank you for being on this journey to get better with us. I carved into my wrist yesterday's big aha moment message with Judy Johnson, where she talked about what would someone do that loves themselves. So I wrote WWSDT, a heart, an S, apostrophe S, and then them's.
You should Instagram it so we can copy it.
Yeah.
But also for our listeners, you wrote on your wrist in pen. You did not carve into your wrist.
This is a very
Solid point. I did not carve it. Yes, you're right. I wrote it and it helped me remember it yesterday because I already was forgetting how to say it and how to remember it. So, yeah.
We can make the little like Live Strong bracelets with the thing on it. That's what we'll do.
I know. I hate bracelets though. I don't like to wear anything. Isn't that funny?
Fake tattoos?
You know, girls wear all those like bangle bracelets and stuff. They bother me so much. I guess I'm like such a dude like that. I don't like to have things that are going to clink and clank. And when you touch this Fitbit is the most I can do because also it's rubber. So when it touches things, it won't hurt.
Such a production-minded opinion to have. You're like, I don't want anything that's going to change production and going to hit in the mic or hit the table or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if audio people that have worked with me in the past would agree, but that's not me. That's really the stylist because it's usually like earrings that would clink and clank or necklaces and they'd be like, can we? And we're like, no, it's part of the fashion.
Lobs with the Christmas bells is like my nightmare.
Lobs with Christmas bells?
Yeah, you know those little like tiny little bells that they have on Santa's sleigh?
Oh.
I know in the past I've had to lob somebody who was wearing a necklace made of those.
Yeah, that's not easy. Should we start thinking about Christmas, guys?
Yeah, well, we're doing Christmas in July.
At AfterBuzz.
I think this might be a 5-minute segue into the Christmas 24/7 channel here at AfterBuzz or at AfterBuzz TV. But
Kevin.
Just because what would Maria do if she loved herself? She would mute me. So I'm going to not do that.
Here's what I'm sad about. First of all, we have a great guest coming on the show. Jamie Lynn Spears is going to be with us in just a few minutes. And we're going to be talking all things her return to acting with Sweet Magnolias and, you know, whatever else comes to mind. So we're going to be on with her in just a bit. And by the way, if you haven't joined us on Patreon, please join us at any level. We are doing some really great stuff over there that I think you'll like. We had a really great episode about Brené Brown yesterday. So please join us. And, if you haven't commented, rated, subscribed, share the shows with a friend, anything you can do to help us get this to more people, we would greatly appreciate, of course. Now, where was I, Stephen?
You were talking about Christmas Con and how you love Christmas in July.
I mean, I think that one of the saddest things about this in like work-wise kind of sad category is that one of my goals was I was going to try to figure out a way to get on one of those Hallmark movies just so Kevin would be excited to see me at Christmas time in a Hallmark Christmas movie because he's so obsessed. But yeah, that's not going to happen.
I don't know. Candace Cameron said that they're going to be filming pretty soon.
Maybe I think she was hoping.
Hoping. Yeah. Maybe you can zoom into one of their films.
I mean, I don't know. We'll figure it out. I need to figure it out some way or another. I did this little TikTok thing last night. I was waiting for Kevin to finish up his stuff. We had to screen some shows for something that we're going to be doing. And I went on to TikTok and the yearbook thing is trending. You guys obviously don't
know.
I haven't seen it, no.
Jeff's like, I'm working around the clock producing your show. I saw it's like this yearbook thing and it like has a ticker and it's like, you know, most, you know, biggest class clown, whatever. Mine came up as biggest gossip. I was like, what? My reaction was insane.
Is it just a random?
Yeah, it's just like a random thing. Gotcha. It was so funny. And then it was like most likely to meme or something. Because I was like, when you see that reaction, yeah, that would make sense. It was kind of funny.
Did you guys do superlatives in high school, Maria?
Yeah.
What were yours?
I was a class heartbreaker and best looking, which was so embarrassing. Which I didn't think I was going to get any of that stuff. Like, I wasn't known to be, like, best looking or whatever. There were so many popular girls. Like, I never expected that. But, yeah. Isn't that weird? I think I got class heartbreaker. I'm pretty sure. Because I couldn't date. Yes, I remember. That was the controversy. I wasn't allowed to date, so I got class heartbreaker. But I didn't break any hearts, technically, because I wasn't allowed to.
Do you look back and, like, wonder where those people are now? Like all the popular kids from your high school class?
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of people in jail for sure.
Oh, wow. I was not expecting.
When you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom for a while now, as you know, I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs, and everything in between, but it's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it.
Liking that.
Well, all the boys I liked, I feel like all ended up in jail. That sucks.
And now you're with the bad boy of Patreon. Makes sense.
I am with the bad boy of Patreon. It's actually funny. I saw a lot of people at my high school reunion, which I never in a billion years thought I would go to, but, our reunion came up. It was 2 years ago. It was when my mom was kind of in the throes of everything. Was it 2 years ago? I don't remember. 2 years ago, I think. And I kind of needed, I had this feeling, it was like the day before Thanksgiving or something like that. And I was with family and I'm like, I really got to go, I think. And I called my best friend. I'm like, we're going to go. And she's like, no, we're not. I'm like, yeah, we're going to go. We're going to go. I'm flying home. I'm booking a last minute flight. We're going to go. And we went. It was the best time. We went in quick. Like, we didn't stay forever. Like, the buildup was the part where you're so nervous about seeing people and what are people going to say and how is it going to be. And of course, we were getting ready at her apartment and she got skunked.
Oh,
and
what?
So we walked into our reunion stinking like skunks and people thought we got high. And I'm like, no, we didn't get high. We got skunked.
That's making an entrance.
Guys, can you imagine? Here I am making my return, going to my reunion, and I smell like a skunk. It could not have been written better. You know, like people think like when you're successful, it's like, oh yeah, go show them who you are. Like that was never my intention. And I don't care about that stuff. That's not me. You know, go show off your success. That's not me. But can you imagine I'm going back and I stunk?
Went to my tenure this year and Maria, I also had a blast. It was really, really fun.
Yeah, but I did not enjoy school. You probably did.
You
probably had the most like idyllic like experience of school, I feel like.
I went to a small school, which was nice. And it was pretty good overall. Yeah. But what I appreciated, and I don't know how yours was, but I don't feel like my classmates were posturing too much. You always expect them to all want to be one-upping each other and bragging, but everyone was just kind of happy for each other.
Yeah. Nobody really talked about work or anything. It was really like about families and, you know, that kind of thing. It was fun.
Totally.
And everybody kind of looked the same. Mm-hmm.
Like the same as they used to, or they all looked the same?
They just looked the same. Like, I don't feel like any of us really looked that much older somehow.
Was your 15 or 10 year?
No, I think it's our 20 year.
Did they
was class of 96.
Did they rent a convention center?
Oh, shit, that was 4 years ago, guys.
Oh, wow.
Not 2 years ago. Because it was right after my mom got diagnosed. That's right.
Yeah. Time is flying by.
Yeah.
Did they do anything special, like rent an event place, or was it just at a bar?
We did it at a local bar in our hometown of Medford.
Okay, yeah, because I went to my tenure and like all the people who like postured in high school who were on our what is it called when they're like the treasurer?
Committee.
Yeah, the committee.
Officers.
They were in charge of doing the tenure, and it was like completely just let's go to the local dive bar, don't even rent out anything, don't do anything. And nobody showed up because everyone lives out of town, and everybody looked like the same in terms of not as they used to. Everyone looked the same because everyone just has this big beard and a truck. It's the Cary, North Carolina way is you graduate high school, you have some kids, and you get a truck and a beard.
That's so funny. I it was really nice to see everybody. I really liked it. Like I saw like this kid I grew up having a crush on, and he is just still the same sweet kid. Like, It was funny. He didn't go to jail, thank God. But yeah, I think my taste as a youngster, like a real youngster, was a lot better than it, you know, became as I grew up into high school. But yeah. I think of the three boys that I was most obsessed with, and all of them I think went to jail.
We're gonna make sure that other kid goes to jail too, Maria. We'll take care of it.
Oh man, so wild. Oh, life is an interesting journey, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, it sure is. Yeah,
it is.
And Maria, I feel like you still have a little hint of that bad boy streak, because I feel like Kevin's got like a 5% bad boy in him.
Yeah, Kevin does. I mean, he's from the same hometown. This is like, we grew up in a tough area.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, Jeff, like if we talk about the differences in our high schools, right? Like I watched people get stabbed.
Wow.
You probably have not even seen that on TV.
It's true. I mean, like,
like I'm not, this isn't funny, but like I literally, that was like a normal thing.
Weird flex, but okay.
Totally weird flex.
It hardens you though, Marie. I'm sure in some ways it prepped you for the business. You know, it's, I would never change a thing about my upbringing, which as I'm sure your audience can predict was the most white picket fence gazebo type of upbringing. But in some ways it didn't necessarily prepare me for some hardships in some ways that maybe you were earlier on.
Yeah. I mean, I think that when you grow up, we had like crazy stuff go on in our high school. And when you grow up in that kind of violence, like you are always like looking, like we've talked about before, looking for the boogeyman, looking for who is going to present danger. And so, it's a way to protect yourself, of course, but then at the same time, like Patty Penn, who's the Reiki master who was on the show, she's like, you're always looking for the boogeyman and the boogeyman always finds you because you guys just are attracting each other. So I've had to like try to let go of that. But I do think that street smarts kind of thing has helped me a lot because I can kind of see people's games really quick. I can see what's being played out and who's doing what way fast. So it's interesting. Yeah.
What does it say about our industry that Jeff's first instinct when you said people got stabbed in high school is, well, it prepared you for Hollywood.
I know. The backstabbing. Jeff, you're so... That's so funny. Jeff's like, well, yes, the backstabbing. Like,
get
literally,
ready for it.
Quite literally.
And the truth is I've still been sheltered because I've been working for you and Kev. But, you sense it. And we have a big company and I've learned a lot. I'll just say that. I've learned a ton. In the 10 years I've been out here. So.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff's aware of how stabbable he is.
Oh, my God, guys.
I think that's stabbable, yeah.
This is so bad. This is so bad. Yeah. I'm like, wait. Because I just had a moment where I thought about, like, Jeff in a small town. And I just... And by the way, I was totally stereotyping. I was expecting you to say, no, it wasn't like that, actually. Because sure. I was just, you know, assuming, which is a terrible thing to do. But I just felt like, oh, they probably had a perfect idyllic kind of like experience. And here we were just trying to survive, like running out of a school that's in the middle of a racial war or whatever it was. Like our school got shut down for an entire week because of, you know, guns and all kinds of crazy
stuff. I just want the side-by-side of like a montage of somebody selling drugs in Boston with with Jeff's barbershop quartet singing like the different sides of life.
But you know what, it's like it, all of these experiences make us who we are, and we all need all of us, like you need me and I need you, like it's
absolutely
a balance. It's a balance, and guess what, we're better together.
Ayo. Name drop.
So before we discuss any more dangerous things and any more stories pop up into my mind, why don't we move on to our chat with Jamie Lynn Spears, who, by the way, I don't, she had an interesting childhood, obviously, too. So,
yeah.
You know what? I would like to think Louisiana was like all white picket fences and stuff like that, but maybe it was a dangerous experience for her too. Who knows? And I wonder if she went to her high school reunion. But of course, you guys know Jamie Lynn Spears. She's had an extensive career in entertainment that has included sketch comedy, teen soaps, an impressive music career, and now a foray into a prestige drama with Netflix's highly anticipated series, Sweet Magnolias. It's so funny because every time I say Sweet Magnolias, my brain wants to say Steel Magnolias because, of course, that's a very famous movie. But Sweet Magnolias is the series. Jamie Lynn is a dedicated entertainer, wife, mother of two. And I'm so excited to chat with her. Hi, Jamie. Oh, we don't have audio.
There we go.
Oh, really?
There you are. How are you?
Here, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. You're coming to us from Louisiana, right?
Yes, I am. I sure am. Are you in Los Angeles?
I am. Yes. So how has quarantine life been for you?
You know, I have to say that, of course, you know, the homeschooling and the kids sometimes can be overwhelming. But I think that in our situation, it's hard to complain because we do have a yard where we can go outside and get fresh air. I do have my family. We're healthy. So I'm really trying to have some perspective and realize, like, I'm pretty blessed in this situation. I can't complain. All I'm being asked to do is stay home. So that seems like a pretty easy thing to do if I can help in my way.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, I've talked to so many different people and a lot of people are really loving quarantine life. Like, of course, people who have homes and have yards, right? The fact that you get that family time like you've probably never had before, or for most people, they've had that experience, they're enjoying quarantine time. Are you liking it?
You know, I have to say, like, I have so much sympathy for people who, like, this is, you know, not a great time for them or by any means, but I do think finding the positivity in all this is important. And having this time with my kids, I think, is so important. But it's not just about the time with your kids. It's the guilt-free time with your kids.
Yes.
We can't be doing anything else. We can't go travel right now for work. We can't get as many things done. So you don't feel guilty. And it's so weird how we created that whole narrative of feeling guilty for simply saying, you know what, today I'm doing nothing but being with my children. I'm not going to answer my phone. I'm not going to answer my emails. And I'm not going to go into work. And I think that that's probably been a little bit of relief for a lot of people who sometimes have that guilt for prioritizing their, you know, time to be with their kids as opposed to work. So I think that's been the difference for me, is I haven't had to feel guilty about just being stuck at home with my kids. And that's been really pleasant as far as this whole thing goes, I think.
That's a brilliant way to put it. And I don't think anyone's put it like that, because it is exactly that. It's the guilt-free time. And whether you're a nurse, an entertainer, whatever you do for a living, that's how you're putting food on the table. So you have to always think, you know, even with my mom, I feel like my mom and dad are quarantining with me. My mom has cancer and we're trying to protect her, and my dad is diabetic. And all right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days, and I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor, and it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios, and then I got addicted, and now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use, where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're gonna love them. You know, I keep saying to her when she's like, Maria, come here. And I'm like, okay, mom. And I'm like, but I still got to work. I gotta do stuff. And so, like, yeah. I understand that feeling of, you know, you have to keep putting food on the table, but quarantine time does give us that kind of that break. And what a break I feel like society needed in general to kind of realize that we've gone so far in that workaholic path.
That it's almost like taking time for yourself is either considered lazy, or you don't want it enough, or you don't, you know, it's one of those kind of things where, don't get me wrong, you should work hard for your dreams. And I think work ethic is an extremely important part of you know, getting what you want out of life. But I don't think that, you know, creating the whole narrative around feeling guilty about spending time with the people you love or taking quality time out of your workday to do what's important to your heart. I think that that's not something we should feel like we have to explain ourselves for. And yeah. We do. I do. I'm the exact same way. It's like if I'm not doing something I feel like that helps bring food to the table or helps create a future for me and my children, sometimes I feel like, have I done anything today? You know, if I didn't do something like that, it's like, no, you spent time with your children, you fed them, you took care of them, and you created memories, which is one of the most important things, I think, especially right now, is creating some positivity for our kids is it's important. But don't get me wrong, there are times where, because we aren't able to travel and be with people, I am on my phone more, having to do certain things, and I hate that. Mm-hmm. I hate that I catch myself being on my phone, like, hang on, baby. And it just feels like I don't like that part of it. But I think for the most part that, you know, if everyone is just able to take this time and just, you know, take what we can out of it, that is good.
Yeah. I wonder, do you feel like that there's things like that that you're going to take from quarantine and figure out how to apply it into your regular life when life kind of resumes, which I know is going to be in different. Weird. Yeah, it's going to be weird and different, and it's never going to resume the way it did. But what are the things that you think you're going to hold on to, or try to hold on to at least?
I mean, I've always tried to like put my phone away and just be present. I've tried to do it, but I think really like just taking days where I just say, I'm just going to leave my phone inside and I'm going to go outside with my kids. I think when I grew up, before phones were such a big part of our lives, like literally me and my friends, we lived outside and we didn't come in until it was time to eat dinner. And I think that that is something I've got to make sure I do with my children. Even if it means that I've got to sit out there and do whatever they're doing all day, I think that that's important for kids to, you know, get outside and really just be creative and use their imaginations. And I know that we've done that, but it's just different when you have no other option and you're literally having to like create games and make up things to do. I hope that we don't lose that, because I did that as a kid. We made up things to do all the time. And I just want my kids to be able to do that as well. So I think that's something I'm going to have to, you know, just create days where it's like no electronic days, just get outside.
Yeah. Before you got on, we were, I was talking about TikTok and how I barely have been doing it, but I got on last night and there was this yearbook thing. Have you seen the yearbook one yet?
I haven't. See, I'm quarantined. That is one thing we have as far as technology goes. I was not a TikTok person. I had a TikTok account, but I wasn't like, you know, very active on it. But we have been much more active on TikTok, but I haven't seen the yearbook thing. So what is that?
Okay. So yearbook is trending and it'll like, you know, it'll do like a random thing like best, you know, looking, or, you know, biggest,
superlative.
So yeah, the superlatives. Anyway, it spawned a conversation about high school, and Jeff, who is, our producer and on the show, Jeff and I were talking about the differences between our experiences. And I was like, Jeff, I'm like, I feel like you probably had the idyllic like experience, Midwest, like perfect. And he goes, yeah, it was pretty awesome. I'm like, cause I dealt with people getting stabbed in front of me. Like my high school was like, so
wow.
There was a lot. And then it made me wonder, like, what was Louisiana like for you guys?
Well, me, my sister and my brother all went to the same school, since 4-year-old kindergarten up until, you know, it was one of those schools that went from 4-year-old kindergarten all the way to 12th grade. So I knew everyone kind of, and it was just one of the experiences, like, especially because I was working as I got a little bit older and as my sister became so famous and all of that, it was at times, because it is a small town, you felt like everybody was a little bit more critical on things, but also I wouldn't have been able to do what I do as far as having a school work so well with my show as I was younger. And then me being able to come right back in and jump back in and go to school. And these kids didn't care. Like they didn't care that I was on a show. They'd been with me since I was in kindergarten. So, and it was also cool because like when we'd go to other schools to play them, I was a cheerleader and stuff. And I remember some of the other schools, like their whole student sections would like sing songs or Zoe theme songs, which was, you know, they would try to like kind of poke fun at us and, or at me. And I remember all of my, even people who maybe weren't like that close to me and stuff, really kind of like got protective of me. And I just remember thinking like, that was the first time I was like, I'm really thankful that I've been able to go to a school that I've grown up with these kids. So my experience was a little bit more of like a hometown kind of feel. And, you know, there was the normal drama stuff, but really my grade, we didn't really have all of that like bickering and stuff. But I remember the grades around us. Oh my God, those girls could be out. I mean, I was impressed with how evil people could be so young. It's like, where do you get this from?
I know.
But, I mean, I didn't personally like really experience any of that with my age group. But it was weird. You know, there's always like that one grade that's like that one class that is a little bit more, you know, I don't know what the right word is for the whole situation, but I really just kind of, I had a good experience as far as all of that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody. I mean, high school is such an interesting thing. Did you ever finish your high school there, or did you, were you homeschooled?
I did homeschool for a bit while I was on Zoe. But then my mom realized that, like, I was not going to learn because I was just one of those kids. Like, I would, like, I was pretty good at, like, talking my way out of things. So, like, if an assignment wouldn't get done, I'd, like, make up some excuse and get the teacher to somehow or another, like, online, get them. Because you had to check in with a real teacher every now and then. It's like you just go in there and free-for-all. And so I was always getting, my mom was like, this is not going to work. She's got to go back to real school. Like, she's going to just talk her way through this. So I went back to Park Lane up until 11th grade. And then when I became pregnant with Maddie, I just went ahead and I'd already had taken some classes that were ahead of my grade. So I didn't even have that many, like I didn't even have that much I had to finish. So I went ahead and got my GED for my 12th grade year. But I was so close to just finishing out the year, but it didn't make sense for me. And being as I'd already been traveling and I wasn't really there with my class anyways, that was the one thing that was different about my high school experience. It's like, I didn't get to go to some of the school dances or go to those certain little school things. And I remember wanting that so badly.
Did you ever go to your reunion?
No, I didn't go to the reunion, but I went with my husband to his high school reunion this past year. And that was, I mean, it was exactly what you'd expect it to be.
Uh-huh. Totally boring for you and probably fun for him, right?
Yeah, I was just like, we've been at a softball tournament all day long. I was like hoping that like maybe he's like, oh, I'm too tired. I don't feel like going. He's like, no, I want to go. And I'm like,
oh. Yeah.
So yeah, I was like, I went there for him, but like, I didn't know anybody and he's 10 years older than me too. So I was like,
yep.
I didn't understand any of the things they were talking about. I didn't, you know, it was just like, I was just kind of hanging out there. So, but I still see a lot of people that I went to school with and stuff too, because I'm still in that vicinity of where I went to school.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Like, you know, even when we were talking about it, I was not thinking about the fact that, you know, you were working during those periods of time too, and thinking of what your experience might have been like.
I wanted to do was go home and like do whatever my friends were doing. It was like, it's funny how when you have no perspective at that age, like I was, you know, I wanted to like get production to like stop so I could go to like a football game. Like, that's ridiculous. So,
and now you look at it as ridiculous still, huh?
Well, a lot of it, I have to say, Nickelodeon was really good about. Like, I remember like when we'd be shooting for a while, they'd give us like a week off, like a little hiatus. And they would usually try to time those around like my.
With summer upon us, friends, hair is going to be even more important. Yes, we've got humidity, we've got sun, we've got all kinds of things. And sometimes it's hard to find the right shampoo for your hair. Everyone's hair is so different and there's no one size fits all solution. That's why I love Way. They have different shampoos depending on your hair type. Want volume? Fine hair and conditioner will give you that extra oomph you need. If you need some moisture and a little extra bounce, find your happy medium with medium shampoo and conditioner. And for my peeps with thick hair like me, give your hair the hydration it deserves with thick hair shampoo and conditioner. Plus, you guys already know Way carries some of my favorite hair care products I use all the time, whether it's the leave-in conditioner, which is my go-to, or the hair oil. They give my hair this hydrating refresh all summer long. Wash your way to healthier hair. See what I did there? with shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to TheWay, TheOuai.com. Use the code HEALSQUAD for 15% off your entire purchase. That's TheWay.com, TheOuai.com. Use the code HEALSQUAD. Your hair deserves it.
Homecoming bands or something like that. So they were really good about trying their best, but they're running a huge production where there is, you know, grown men and women who are trying to feed their families. They can't say, well, you know what? She really wants to go to the high school's rivalry football game, so we're going to have to not do that. You know, it's kind of those kind of things I understand now. But as a kid, you're just like, I want what I want, you know? And It's like, what? I probably sounded like such a brat. But at the same time, they wanted me to have whatever normalcy I could as a child. And I think that that was something that was really, I'm really thankful for looking back, realizing like that was a really great thing for me to be able to have that balance.
Yeah. I wonder, when you saw Maddie growing up, did you want her to be in this business, or were you trying to push her not to be in this business?
Neither way. I don't think that, because now I do have some perspective on it, I have grown up in this business. I think there's a lot of positives and there's a lot of negatives, and there's that in every aspect of life. So I think it's more about her doing what makes her happy and what she's passionate about. And if that's being in this business, then I will support her in the best ways that I can. But if it's not, then that's fine too. I don't think it's my job to push her one way or the other. Now, of course, if I see that my child is excelling in a certain area, of course you want to highlight that and, you know, give them confidence in that area and guide them in that direction. But I don't think that me pushing her away from it or towards it is going to make her any better of an entertainer. So therefore, I don't think that's my job. My job is just to kind of follow her lead.
Yeah. What does she want to do?
Well, right now, she's all about softball. You know, that's our, she's on a travel softball team. And with quarantine, obviously, it's not normal for us, but typically, you know, every weekend we're traveling somewhere to play softball. And I have to, my husband is one of the coaches on the team, this group of girls and the family. It's so much fun. It's not just about the games. It's about like just the whole time you get together with these families and watching our girls play together and learn. There's just something you can't learn that you learn in team sports. There is just so much growth that I've seen through Maddie that I don't even think that I had her age. You know, it's weird because I look at her right now, she's 11. And I think about like, that was right when I was finishing up all that and going into Zoe. And I think like, oh my God, how weird would it be if like I was going with Maddie to go watch her do a show. But then I go and I watch her in a softball game where, you know, she gets up there to bat and it's literally like, she has to make the perfect, whatever, hit, bunt, whatever it is, for this run to get in. She gets up there and she does it, and she doesn't even look nervous. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the kind of strength that I would have just ran off the field, you know, like I couldn't handle that kind of pressure. So it's funny to see like how whatever she's passionate about, what she's good at, seeing her shine in that is something I'm just so proud of. And seeing all the other little girls right along with her just cheering each other on, it's a lot of fun.
I love that. I love that you're able to go and travel and be a mom amongst other moms and have that kind of freedom. You know, I often think, you know, I don't know if you've been watching The Last Dance. Have you been watching the Michael Jordan documentary yet?
Yes. Yes, I have been watching it. I haven't missed an episode.
Okay. And you know this from personal experience, when you are a huge superstar, like life becomes so challenging.
Yeah, just weird. Like I know that my sister, and you know what's hard too is I guess like with what he was doing, you know, everyone knows where he's going to be and what hotel he's staying at because he's playing a game, and he knows. And with Brittany, when she would be on tour, it'd be that same kind of situation. They know where you're going to be, they know what you're doing, so it would just be constant attention on you. And I remember it sneaking out with her and all of those kind of moments, and finding it being so weird just to like go to the grocery store and just walk through it and no one be around you, and finding that, almost feeling like a little nervous because you weren't used to like the privacy. And I think that does create a weird environment. And so whenever, you know, whenever I became pregnant with Maddie, I bought a house in Mississippi. I put a big old fence around it. And I was like, I don't want anything in this little world. I've got to grow up, number one. I'm trying to figure out how to be a mom. And I didn't want to create that lifestyle. And I knew staying in Hollywood, the circus that would have been around me as a young teen mom living in Hollywood with a baby, it would have been the best show for the media ever, you know?
Yeah.
But what was crazy is they still were there. The paparazzi followed me around this small town. It felt like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to get away from this. And thankfully, just staying away long enough, everything really was able to die down. And I just think that that was my time of saying, like, I don't think that I can grow up properly this way. I needed to get away and grow up, because you can't expect yourself not to make mistakes. And with the kind of scrutiny that I had seen with my sister, I knew that I don't think I can do that in front of the whole world.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, it's so hard when you're developing. And I just think that's so, so amazing of you to have had that level of maturity at that age to have realized, first of all, this isn't for me. And second of all, this isn't the best thing for me. And I'm going to go kind of sacrifice, you know, your career was doing great. And you said, you know what, I'm going to shut it down. Was that tough for you as well?
Well, I remember, like we said earlier, you know, doing what you think is right for your heart. Sometimes you feel guilty about it because you feel as if like people are going to think, how could she make that choice?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I just finished my last season of Zoe, and I had already told my mom, like, you know, I think I want to go finish out school at home, and, you know, any good movies or something that comes up, I'd like to do that. But I kind of had already made that decision to take a minute to grow up a little bit. And just, I really just wanted to like go be normal for a little bit with no like, oh, well, you leave in a week or you leave, you know. It was just like, I always hated that. And I found out I was pregnant, and I knew what my choice was going to be. And it was really hard to tell my team, because it wasn't just like I had to tell my mom and dad. We had to call a whole team of people who like worked, you know, for us. And then, you know, Nickelodeon, all these people. It wasn't just like, I was so nervous and so afraid, but I had to do what I knew I could sleep with at night. And so I made the choice that I made, and I knew there was going to be a lot of repercussions. But for me, the main thing was, I just wanted my fans to know that, like, I'm just a young girl like you all, and I made a choice, and now I'm handling it the best that I can. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying these are my cards, and this is how I'm choosing to play them. And I didn't ever want to lead any other young girls down a road of confusion by my choices. But I think the most important thing I could have done was just be honest with them about it. Like, I didn't want to be one of those people who just pretended like this didn't happen and pretended like it was all peachy, because it was hard. It was really, really hard. I was afraid. Would I ever be able to work again? What was I going to do? It was very scary, because it's not just about the public scrutiny. Like, how am I financially going to provide for this child beyond this? You know, that was all very scary. And I just had to do what I knew that I could. I just followed my heart in that situation and just did the best I could, really.
When you look back, do you think that that was kind of like a life-saving decision?
You know, it's weird, because when I do believe that everything happens for a reason, and I don't know that I would have had the strength to take myself outside of the business for the amount of time that I truly needed to grow up and become a young adult without compromising anything, if I wouldn't have had to make the choice for my child. So I do think in a way that she almost, like, I wasn't fighting for myself, I was fighting for her. And so I think that was kind of one of the things that I tried to I really am. I mean, obviously teen pregnancy is not something you ever want to like promote as far as what the best thing that can save. No, for me, I just think that I was put in a situation that really made me have to make decisions quicker than I would have. And I do.
As a first-time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. You know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios. Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Minus the sweet chili.
Thinking away, of course, I believe she saved me for myself, I think, because I might have not... I mean, I don't know who I'd have been if I wasn't her mother first.
Yeah. I wonder, did you ever want to give Brittany the same advice?
You know, the thing was with Brittany, she was always doing exactly what she wanted to do. There was just never like, there was no question. She wanted to 100% do this full force, and it was a different time then. It was really different when she got started. And I think there was, I know it sounds weird, but when she first at all started rolling, it was all very, even with the pushback in certain areas, you know, because, you know, whatever her outfits or dance moves, whatever it was still a lot more positive as far as our experience went in the beginning. Mm-hmm. It was also new to us. Then again, we were just like this normal family from a small town. And all of a sudden, we're living an actual dream, and it was just different, you know. It was a little bit different as to where when I had come into the business, we'd already kind of been in it for, you know, 10 years. There was a different perspective on it at that point.
Yeah, good point. You know, when I watch The Last Dance and I see Michael Jordan, I'm so glad you're watching it because I haven't gotten to talk to anybody about it yet.
Oh, yeah. My husband, like, we have it on record. Like, we're not missing it. My husband is the biggest
fan of it. I feel like, you know, when you see him sitting on that couch and he's like, I can't go out, I can't do anything. And, you know, it's so great to finally get people to see that it isn't as glamorous as people think it is. And just how challenging it is. And you guys know it in your lives because you dealt with it too.
Yeah, I think that when I saw that scene of him on the couch, I even remember I said to my husband, I was like, I remember that with my sister. Like, I remember her almost feeling guilty. Like, I want to be able to go take y'all to go do this, but there's going to be a lot of people. Like, and I just remember being like, I'm just happy to be with her, you know, like that was, and I think that's why now I still love hotels so much. It's because I remember, like, we always were in hotels ordering room service, just those to me kind of are like home. It feels like that's like a memory that I was very fond of that I had with my sister and my mom. And I remember, like, it was weird watching that because I remember that with my sister, especially when we'd go overseas and, you know, she would do her tour there. That was how it was outside of the hotels every single time.
Yeah.
And she was so thankful that she had her fans there, but it's almost like she didn't want the people around her to be affected by it. It's like she didn't want me to have to. And I was just like, I remember I was just happy to be there. So I didn't, none of that bothered me, but it's just funny how it does. It affected her psyche. And I was able to see that from a different perspective.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, for you, you have had so many successes, whether, you know, in music or in acting, and you know, you were doing your thing too. And you get to see when you get to a certain level, they just, are ready to tear you down. And so it's mm-hmm. it's kind of like, I said this on the show the other day, I'm like, I kind of always feel like I pull back just a little bit. I'm too scared to go to that next place, because once you go to that next gear, that's when everyone's hunting you. And I wonder if you ever feel like that.
I mean, the bigger of a star you become, I definitely think the more of a target you become, because just as much as you're in the business of, you know, it brings a lot of positives, but it brings a lot of negatives, because that's what the press and the media, their job is to sell stories. And the bigger the star, the bigger the story. It's all a business at the end of the day. So you do have to be careful about what you share and what's important to you. But because we are in a world where, you know, we don't want to be so closed off, because it's important to share our stories and connect with people, because you can help people in that way as well. I think that you have to just be, if you're just 100% honest, I don't think, even if you, about your mistakes and about the all the good and the bad, I don't think anyone can punish you or use that against you. And for me, I want to be respected in whatever it is that I do, and I want to succeed at it. And I think that you just have to kind of weigh the good with the bad. So, yeah, if you're going to become a bigger star, you're probably going to become a bigger target. But that's just the way of the world. That's
Is it worth it, though?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, in some situations, yes, and others, no. I think that, you know, I've seen both sides of it. I think that's what's weird is, you know, my kids are 10 years apart. And when I had Maddie, I had to have round-the-clock security, and my windows had to all be covered because of paparazzi trying to sneak in and get pictures. And with Ivy, we just walked out the hospital. Nobody bothered. You know, it was just a different experience. So I think that there is a way to find that balance once you get to a certain point.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably pulled back, like, the extreme amount, but I think that now I'm able to kind of rebuild the way that I think is going to work best for me in my future.
Yeah. I think that the universe, you know, is working in your favor, right? Because you did what was right for you. You led with integrity and authenticity to your life first. And that meant, you know, that didn't mean that you then couldn't get what you wanted as well. So now you're getting all the things that you wanted. You didn't have to, there's no scarcity issue, basically, you know?
Yeah, I think that I'm able to mentally be at peace at the end of the day. And I think that is, you can't buy that.
Yeah.
You really can't. So I think that that's what's important. And are there some things that I look back, I'm like, oh my gosh, like opportunities that I probably passed on or whatever it is. I just think that, you know, I can't live in the past. None of us can.
So is there one opportunity you look back at that you're like, shit, why didn't I do that?
You know, right after I finished Zoe, there was a lot of opportunities that came on that were in the, there was a certain like vampire movie that was going to be coming out. And first off, No. I was not offered a part or anything like that. But I did read the script, uh-huh. and I was going to go try out for one of these movies. And I'm sure now, like, my team probably was like, oh, what a moron. They were like, this is going to be a huge movie. Like, you don't understand. This is gonna be huge. And I was like, I am not going to play a vampire in my first movie. That is so stupid. People are going to see me as a vampire, my first acting role? Absolutely not.
Dead.
So that just shows you how much I knew.
Oh, my God.
I think those kind of things you just have to laugh about, obviously.
I've done stuff like that, too.
But I just couldn't see it. At the time, vampires were not a thing.
Being discussed. So there was a show. I'm not going to say anything, but there was a show that somebody wanted me to do. And I'm like, I am not doing a show that calls heavy people the biggest uh-huh. loser. Like, I'm not doing that. That's so mean. And it seems so horrible to me. And then, of course, it becomes like the hugest show. And I'm like, well, I guess I didn't understand it like that. It just seemed mean-spirited, and I didn't want to do something mean-spirited.
Exactly. Well, I just kind of didn't understand. I didn't get it. I was just like, didn't understand. I mean, and it's not like they weren't asking me to play this part of the story. It was just a script that like was given to me to read, and I was going to go in and try out for one of the parts. So who knows what could have happened down the road, but I became pregnant and all that would have never have happened. But I remember my initial reaction when my team told me about this vampire movie. I was like, no, that's ridiculous. Yeah. I was just completely clueless.
You know, we talk a lot on the show about, you know, kind of spiritual growth and emotional growth and all of that. And, you know, it's usually from your kind of darkest moments where you can be reborn and growth can happen. And for me, it was after my brain surgery. I changed my entire life and I realized what was important. When you look back at your life, do you see similar moments for yourself?
Yeah, definitely. My oldest daughter was in a, she was in a really bad accident.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I cannot believe like I'm sitting in a room crying to a ring light right now.
Okay.
Anyways.
It's hard.
You know, and at that time I was just about to release new music and really go full force and all these kinds of things. I'd released my EP and I'd had a great, you know, as an independent artist, I'd had a great experience with, you know, the festivals and the radio tours, but it was time to, you know, I was looking at the next step and the next phase. And then one day, you know, we're at my in-laws and my daughter, I've never really talked about it publicly. So without going into too much detail, we were sitting right there watching her and, you know, with every safety measure that could be taken, she just somehow or another drove into the water and we dove in and we were unable to rescue her. And when we were finally able to get her out of the water and I saw her, and then the first responders took her from me, we thought she was gone. We thought we'd lost our daughter. And so that moment I felt everything that you can feel, I think, as far as like the worst, it's the worst. This is the worst. This is, there's nothing worse than looking at your child and just feeling like you failed her.
Yeah.
And I didn't want her to think that I couldn't save her, that I didn't try to save her. That was my biggest worry. But then, you know, I was like, they carried me. I don't really remember anyways, but a firefighter came to me and said, we got a pulse. And at that time, I don't even really remember what happened. But me and my husband, we just drove in a car. We weren't talking. We were just like looking at each other. It was just like this unreal. And then they had airlifted her to a hospital. We got there and it wasn't looking good. And she wasn't responding to anything. And so it was not looking good for us. And so then I just said, please, I just really want my priest to come in here and I just really want her to be prayed over. That was really important to me. And the doctors had, like I said, had not been getting a response from her. So any pain response, you know, none of those things. And she's got something breathing for, it's all of the worst case scenarios. And finally, they let my priest back. You know, in ICU, it's they only let certain people back, especially with those kind of situations. And so he came back there and Father Mark, who has been, you know, just a blessing to us, he went to, you know, put the oil on her and read the rites. And she sat up and started kicking and her hands and started grabbing at all of the things. And they came and they tied her down. And then she went back into complete, you know, whatever. But then that was our first sign that there was, she was there. Like, she was there. And even my priest, he like stepped by and was like, holy. He like, he'd never seen it. It shocked everybody. Wow. And in that moment, I spiritually, mentally, everything changed. It was just, I faced my worst fear now. What else can I mess up or do wrong that's going to be as horrible as that? Nothing. There's nothing. And God gave me the blessing of giving me my daughter back. Oh, I lost her and I got her back. So I don't get to make any excuses. I've been given the best, the biggest blessing you can be given. And I think that that's kind of now how I go forward in my life, is I just remember that's the worst moment I've ever had. That's probably the worst moment you can have, but I was given her back. And for so many, that's not the case. So I'm not allowed to waste a day on this earth complaining or being ungrateful. And none of this, you know, awards, job, none of it matters. I get to live the rest of my life looking at, and not only that, a 100% recovery. No damage.
Total miracle.
That's kind of unheard of. I don't think that if God gave me nothing else, he gave me that. So everything else in my life going forward, I said, you know what? It doesn't matter. It's got to mean something. It's got to make sense. It's got to be good for us. And that's all I really care about. And I'm human. I have moments where I probably am selfish and vain and all of the things that go into being in this industry because I'm human. But I do think that that was the moment where I said, I just don't care. I don't care if people think of, you know, my decisions as far as my family goes, because I know what's right. And I've got a little reminder every single day, even when she's being mean to me. I'm like, I'm so happy she's here being so mean to me.
She's only going to get meaner as she hits her teens, right? So get ready.
I just don't even want to think about it.
But it does change you.
She's a sweetheart, but she's a preteen. So, I mean, but she's a special little girl, and she's been, you know, I've fought for that baby since the day she was, like, put in my heart. So therefore, I just think that that's something, I'm so lucky for my little girls. I really am. And, you know, one of the things was, is she, while she was under, I kept, you know, her and my husband had, I was so focused on work and all those things had been, we want a baby. When are you going to give us a baby? We want a baby, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, like not now, not now. So when she was in the hospital, I kept being like, if you wake up, I'll give you a baby, sister, brother, whatever you want. Just wake up. You know, and you're bargaining with God. You're like, whatever I got to do to get this to come out, and I don't care what happened. Just let my baby stay here. And when she woke up and was finally okay, because, you know, it takes a while. They are a little, it was a process. And so she looked at me, she goes, so you gonna give me that baby?
Were those her first words?
No, that was just like, her first words were like, hey mom, like, you know what? No, she talked really crazy for a while. There was a while where it was like, what is going on? Like, but when she came out of that, that was close to one of her first words. So you gonna give me that baby? You gonna give me my baby?
Oh my goodness. And
it was within the first conversation. Yes.
And you guys got right to work, I bet.
I went like, looked up, oh God, I bargained with you. I gotta have a baby. So we always, it wasn't, let's see, her accident was in February. I guess I became pregnant not long after that. So we always say that Maddie just wanted to go to heaven and pick out her baby sister. And so she picked her out and brought her back with her. So,
oh my God.
That's what we try to take as a positive from a horrible experience.
Wow. Which is the only thing you can do. Meanwhile, we're sitting here, we're laughing, we're crying, we're like manic right now, right? In the chat, people are crying, yeah. And then you're making them laugh. It's like, it's crazy, but I feel like, you know, all of these moments, I've had the same moments, bargaining for my mom's life, bargaining for my dad's life in different times. And, you know, you just, when you're kind of in that helpless place, it's really hard. And
I'm so sorry.
I'm really grateful that she's okay for you.
And you know, I mean, the pain that you're feeling, I only really had to feel that for a brief time. And to me, I guess that's almost like what you, like I felt, I still feel like this survivor's guilt almost. Like I see women who have lost their children from pretty much the same exact situations. And then I see people like you who are, you know, still in situations like that. And for me, I try to always try to figure out what is my place in that. Why did I go through this? But I was, you know, able to walk through it. But I felt the pain, but I only felt it for a brief time. And these people are living with it every day.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that's made me have a lot more compassion for even your worst enemy. I think that you have to understand that people are living with things that we have no idea about. And having compassion for someone who you don't even know is probably the best first step in any situation ever.
Yep.
And I just have so much, I just it just breaks my heart. And I think it's made me be a lot more of an understanding and warm person, being able to have that perspective on it. And I think too, it was kind of God saying like, I'm tired of you being petty or complaining about anything. Like you got your blessing. Everything else in your life might be a lot more complicated, but you got the one that matters.
Yeah, I know. I remember asking my mom years ago, I used to do this event at the Children's Hospital for the terminally ill kids, and I would do makeovers and such. And actually, it's funny, I think about it. I used to brag that we had Brittany's makeup artist or her hairstylist to the kids because they would get so excited. And I remember asking my mom, like, why do these kids have to get sick? This is, and why do they have to pass? And she's like, Maria, we would never have empathy if we didn't go through tough things. And so, you know, we go through our journeys and we all have different ones. And you know, the best that we can do is learn from them and grow from them and then help each other through them.
Exactly. And so, I think that, you know, I also had done stuff with the Children's Hospital, and I, you know, gone where we would go and go make up a song and they help you make it up and we sing it all together. And I just remember like when I was in the hospital, because at first we were in the, you know, a trauma hospital, and then we moved to the Children's Hospital. And I just remember sitting there, I can't believe like I'm here, like this, I'm here with one of the children. Like it was surreal, but it also, you know, you look around and every single other one of those rooms were filled.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing, is like remembering to have empathy, to have compassion for others. And, and that's probably our biggest takeaway. And also to just remembering to be grateful every single day that you have people you love with you. And our health is the wealthiest thing we can have. I mean, I know health is wealth. I know that, but truly it is. Mm-hmm. Being able to be healthy, we should not take that for granted, not for one second.
Isn't that what we're living through right now? Like what I keep telling everybody is, if you know, after surgery, I would say, I'm like, how do I get people to understand the things that I now understand with this kind of new perspective without them having to go through something traumatic? And in a sense, everyone is getting that moment now to realize that health is the most important thing, and the health and, you know, well-being of your loved ones, and nothing material means anything. It's just your love and connection and your health. And so it's, you know, you've lived such a powerful life. I feel like you've had, you know, the whole roller coaster, the ups, the downs, and then you've had the growth, which is so cool to hear and, inspiring. And, and you know, obviously you have made your return. I think this is what, your first scripted series since like 2008 that you're now a part of?
Yes. It's been a minute.
Did you have to like dust everything off?
Honestly, you know, I've been working as a singer and a songwriter for myself and for, you know, other artists as well, but I hadn't done a scripted series. I hadn't been back. And I think that because I was nervous. I was like, am I going to be good at this? Do I know what I'm doing? Does anybody even want me to be an actor? You know, I was like, is anybody going to hire me? You know, you start all this self-doubt. But this was one of those situations where when I read the script and the character, and then when I was able to sit down with the director and the producers, it just was right. It was the right time. It was the right fit, that all of my nerves were completely outweighed by my excitement to play this character. And as we were talking about before, having compassion for people, this is a young girl trying to navigate her way through not an ideal situation. And she is technically the other woman. So when you hear that, you're immediately like, oh, not a fan. Other woman, no thanks. Sorry, it just started raining outside. So I might be but you immediately want to judge her and be like, how dare this young little nurse think that she can come in here and, you know, be the other woman. But this show is so great about telling everyone's story. So you get her backstory and you will have compassion for her before you, before the show is over. And that's what I love about this show, is I got to play a character who was misunderstood, and I have a lot of heart for her because I remember literally wearing the evidence under my shirt every day. So I think it's one of those things where if we just all can take a moment to have a little compassion for, that's what this show does. Every single person has a story, and their intentions might not always match up with their actions, but it's about your intent sometimes and understanding that before you judge.
That was the Brené Brown video I listened to this morning. It was about intentions. That's so funny.
Really?
Yeah. But when you say you were wearing the evidence, what does that mean?
Like, the baby's under her shirt. You know, she's got the belly. It's not like she can say, okay, I can just go on about my life and pretend like this didn't happen. No, she's wearing the proof right there under her shirt with her little baby bump that this happened. And it's a constant reminder to, you know, because this show is based off of a small town, and it tells a lot of people's stories in this town and how they all kind of connect and interweave and how they pull each other together and pull each other through hard times and good times. And how someone who is, you know, the young other woman is all of a sudden, people start to see her from a different perspective, but she really does have such good intentions. There's times, even when I was playing her, I was like, oh, Noreen, stop. Why are you doing this? But it's all about seeing both sides of it. And you know, she walked around with that belly the whole time, and it didn't seem like it bothered her too much. It's really interesting, and it was a fun character to play with a great cast and just a great overall work experience for me.
Yeah, I wonder, do you have anything to compare it to? I mean, it's like you're in a whole other chapter of your life.
I'm just so thankful that they took a chance with me and allowed me to be a part of this show. From Norman, Cheryl, and Dan were kind of the first people I met with that gave me the nod to be able to play this character. And they really worked with me ahead of the show to like make sure I was comfortable and that I, you know, was doing the character the way that was true to me, and also told the story the way they saw the whole story being told. And this next chapter for me, I'm just so excited to kind of see how far I can push myself as an actress, and being able to be a part of a show like this that is somewhat of a breath of fresh air during these times, I think is the best way for me to get back into it. I'm just thankful. I'm just so thankful that I get to do this. I'm thankful I get to be working again. And not only that, but with a group of really great people and on a show that is just about people pulling together and kind of making the best of every situation at the end of the day.
Yeah. Is it like a big shooting schedule for you? Was it a long one?
We shot last summer and we shot in Atlanta or Georgia, kind of all around that area. But Atlanta was kind of like base camp as far as where we were at. And we would shoot two episodes over 2 weeks, and you kind of just fit in where you fit in within those 2 weeks. So there was 10 episodes in total. And that was like, you know, so I might would be working for 3 days and then have 3 days off. I might be working 5 days in a row. I might be working 1 day and then have 4 days off. It just, because this script does tell so many stories, Of course, Joe is the lead of the show and kind of where the whole show revolves around, but it is telling so many stories that I feel like the workload was really kind of spread out. But of course, Joe, you know, had the most workload, but it was one of those things where the schedule was always different. And that was also extreme. I'm telling you, it was the best case scenario for me. It was couldn't have been a better situation for me to come back into. And I'm just excited that I finally get to let everyone see what we've been working on.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. It comes to Netflix, right? On May 19th.
Yes. That's 5 days, 6 days.
Yeah, I think it's like 5 days away, guys.
Anybody? Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. And we're going to be hosting the official after show at AfterBuzz TV. And
awesome.
Jamie's coming on for episode 6.
You're going to be on episode 6, apparently.
I'm trying to think what episode.
That must be your big episode.
So we're working with Anthony, the writer, who we said, hey, choose the best people for the best episodes. And that's kind of what he sent us. So we have a whole list of two people, a writer, a producer, plus an actor for each episode.
I kind of think I like 7 and 8 for Noreen, but I could be wrong. I'm trying to remember what 6 was.
I'll call him out.
We can have a discussion after to make sure you feel good about which one you're doing.
Look, they know what they're doing. They wrote the whole story, and I just get to be a piece of it. So I'm sure whatever they choose is the perfect one. But I'm thinking about maybe my favorite ones that I got to, you know, my favorite performances, I think, were maybe, I think episode 8 is maybe one of mine. But I think that was, also, it's been a year. So, like,
I know, you forget too.
Exactly. And I've seen some of the episodes, but I do want to kind of, with the audience, I want to be surprised a little bit as well. So.
So cool. What about Zoe? Are you guys, I know that there's been things throughout the years, and Jeff, you're more of an expert on this than me, so feel free to jump in. And I say this for the benefit of the rabid fans of Zoe who want to know if there's going to be some kind of, you know, reunion or show or something or other. Have you heard anything about this?
Yes. We did a little mini reunion on All That, where the cast, I was going to go on All That because that was the first show I was, you know, ever, first scripted show I was ever on. So I went back and I played a character that I played when I was younger. And I said, hey, wouldn't it be great if the Zoe cast comes in and does the skit with me? And kind of just to see, like, if the chemistry is still there, if you know, we're all still down to do it. And it was there and it was so much fun. And that was when I was like, okay, I definitely think we should give the fans what they've been asking for. So we've had conversations and hopefully things will, you know, come together quickly, but we also want to make sure that we do it the right way. We don't want to do it just for the sake of doing it. I think that it's really important to have the right home for it. Because I believe that our fans want to hear how Zoe and the cast would be doing at their age as young adults. So it would have to be a show that probably is, you know, for young adults. So I think that it's important for us to find the right home for it and the right story for it that, you know, gives the fans what they have so patiently waited for. So I'm
Because Nickelodeon has a deal with Netflix, does that mean that it would go to Netflix, especially since you're kind of in the family now?
I would like it to. Like, come on, guys, let's do this. Now, that's the business side where, like, you know, like, I don't know, do I call up Netflix? Do I call up Nickelodeon? What do? I don't know. All I know is I want it to happen.
Yeah.
I've had conversations with people at Nickelodeon. So I think that it's just about, hey, Netflix, call your people. Nickelodeon, call your people. Call my people. Let's do this.
Yeah. Jeff, did I take the words out of your mouth?
Absolutely, exactly out of my mouth. Zoe, I'm almost, or Jamie, I'm calling you Zoe. I'm the same age as you. So I feel like I grew up with you on Zoe. So it's so much fun to be chatting with you. But I have to ask, if you and Chase now were to meet your character and then, of course, Chase, would you guys be on or would you be off? Because that on again, off again was like the whole foundation of that show.
I know. It was like we were like the biggest tease in the whole entire world, I feel like. I think that their love story, I don't think it could, if the show comes back, you know, and we pick up with, I do think that their love story has to be a bit of a broken one. I don't think it could be like, oh, we right at the PCA got married and had a wonderful love story, because that was not Zoe and Chase. That was just not their, that was not the way their situation went down ever. So I think it would definitely have to be some breakups, some makeups, some ups and downs with them. But I definitely think that that would have to be like the great loves of their life, you know, whether they're still together or not. But of course, the Zoe fans are going to want to see them together. So there has to be that. Yeah, I mean, we have to have that romance, because that was the, that was basically the underlying theme of the whole entire show.
Wait, did you just say Ross and Rachel?
They're totally Ross and Rachel for my generation.
Wait, did you watch Friends, Jamie Lynn?
Yes, I do. And I will say that, like, they are, there is similar, there is, because, like, they love each other, but they're also, like, they just never can, like, just make it last. And it's never for any good reason.
That's so funny. So are you guys thinking, like, an episode, a season? What are we thinking?
I don't know. I think that, like, it would have to be what makes the most sense for the story. Like, what is the best way to tell the story? And I mean, I really don't know. I think that personally, to me, it'd be more fun to do a series, but if, you know, movie is a better idea, then maybe it's a better idea. I don't know. I don't care. As long as we get to tell the story the right way, I don't care what it is.
I wonder, even with Sweet Magnolias, because you write your own music, have you ever talked to them about writing music for the show or anything like
that? Well, we did actually, because I do have a whole bunch of songs that I've written, because I lived in Nashville and I wrote for years. And so I have all these extra songs that we did send them, but I think it was kind of too late as far as like the legal logistics go, because the showrunners, they loved some of the songs and were actually wanting to possibly put them on the show, but it, there's a whole bunch of legal stuff that goes into all of that.
Yeah.
And so it was just too late, I think, to make it all, to make it all work out. So maybe, hopefully there's a season two. We can do that. Cause I would love that.
Yeah. Is there a career aspiration nobody knows you have?
Well, being a songwriter has always been something I've loved. And whenever I was, in Nashville and lived there, I actually, I won some awards for a song that I wrote that Jana Kramer had,
I love that song,
that she sang.
I loved your rendition too.
Oh, thank you. Well, like, so I wrote that song forever ago, but whenever she took it and it was such a hit and it was really embraced, not just by the fans, but the actual songwriters in Nashville who I respect and love so much. And whenever I won, you know, there's an award from NSAI, it's like songs I wish I'd written, and like all the songwriters vote on that, and I won one of those, and to me that was like, that was like, you know, all your heroes saying like, hey, look, you did good, kid. Mm-hmm. And so to me, I think that was one of those career aspirations that I was like, wow, I didn't, it was so validating, because it wasn't even me singing the song, it was someone else, but my words were good enough, and I just felt like that was like one of those career moments where I was like, this is, this feels really, really good.
So cool. What a, like, just refreshing conversation. I mean, people in the chat are going crazy. I wanted to ask you, about your dad. How is your dad doing with his health, by the way?
He's doing good. He's, fully recovered and, just, you know, just kind of trucking along, I guess. I guess that we've been very thankful in that situation as well, because, you know, I had a 6-month-old baby at the time, and I got the fall that I got the call that my father was probably not going to make it. And my 6-month-old baby had fever at the time, and I couldn't get on a plane, and it was pretty helpless feeling. But he was able to get better, and now we are just, you know, I'm just thankful for my family's health. That's you only get one set of parents, and I think that's important for people to remember. Is good, bad, or ugly, you only get one. So just, you know, you got to learn to, you got to learn to be thankful for every moment that you get with the people that you love.
Yeah. And your mom, is she doing well?
Oh, my mom is doing fabulous. My mom is,
is she probably quarantining with you?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm quarantining with her.
Oh. Okay, perfect. I didn't realize.
Yes. So, like, it has been, I told her, I'm like, you know, we're probably going to be able to go home soon. And she, I mean, I'm sad, but I guess I understand. Like, I think she wants me to live with her. I'm not sure.
I mean, that probably isn't too bad. She's probably, I mean, from what I remember of your mom, anytime I've met her, seen her, or talked to her, she's an incredible woman. She's so lovable and warm. And
she just has this bright light. And so I think that that's always great. Just having her positivity. She's the most kind person. And I think that that's so important in for my children to have, especially. Like, she just loves them. Yeah. There's, my mom has never done anything unkind. Like, she has not.
Yeah, no, you can tell. So in Louisiana, are the is it opening up?
I think we're going back into the first the first stage or the first step. Uh-huh. I think it's happening on tomorrow the 15th.
Yeah.
I think, or no, maybe it's Saturday. Maybe, I'm not sure. But all I know is this weekend, things are starting to slowly try to normalize. I think things are a bit more strict in New Orleans, but in other areas, it's just, of course, you know, face mask and all those kinds of, you know, distancing as well. And hopefully we can all follow the rules and do our part so that we don't have to take a step back, because it will be nice. But I heard in LA, it's like been extended even longer. Am I wrong?
Yeah, well, yes and no, because they had said something about maybe till mid-August, but then I heard yesterday that the person misspoke, and that okay. That's not necessarily true. Jeff, Steven, do you guys have the official?
I do know that they backtracked, because our mayor went on record yesterday being like, hey, people are taking Ferrer's words out of context. Yeah. We're not extending this 3 months. We're saying that 3 months until, she was saying 3 months until things might get back to a little bit of normalcy,
yeah.
But we're not doing the stay-at-home orders for 3 months.
Yeah, we all kind of freaked out. We were like, what?
I was like, y'all are going to be locked in? Like, I mean, I don't have family out there who probably was just going to lose their minds.
Oh, I know, because your sister came in quarantined with you guys for a little bit, and then she came back thinking it was going to be temporary, right?
Well, when this whole thing happened, I mean, I think we all kind of thought no one knew what to expect, but we're thinking a couple weeks max. So she came home for like 2 weeks and kind of thought, okay, like, you know, she'll go back home and maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks, but that was not the case. And so, so she's been there, and I'm pretty sure her boyfriend is with her now, but it's, you know, it's definitely, I think it's surprised everybody. I don't believe anyone thought it was going to be this extreme this long, but
for sure.
At the end of the day, it's you know, it's what we have to do. So I think it's important we just do our part.
Hey, do you think you'll ever be able to convince her to move back home? I know you said somewhere that you wished all of your family lived together. Oh. And it gave me kind of Kardashian vibes for a minute when I heard you say that, because they all kind of live in the same area.
Yeah, I think that that would like be ideal. Oh, you hear that thunder? It would be ideal, but I think that until her kids are older, you know, she kind of can't, she needs to be close to where they are.
Oh, yeah, good point.
So I think that that kind of, you know, dang it, being a mom, you know.
I know.
So my dreams don't get to happen because she has to be a mom.
But she loves it there. So someday I think she'll be back.
Yes. Yeah, I think someday. But, you know, we always manage to do holidays together, times like this of emergency together. And so I think that's, I think that's another blessing, is having a family that we pull together when it counts. And, that's really all that matters.
That's all first of all, that's all that's real. And that's all that matters. Nothing else is real.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
You are such a pleasure. This was,
you are too.
Thank
you. Are,
you.
And your story is so inspiring as well. And I just, you know, definitely praying for you and during all of these hard times, but you've already had such an inspiring story. So
thank you
for being so open and honest and creating an environment for others to do the same.
Thank you. Well, we are always cheering for you, for your whole family.
Thank you.
And cheering for you. I so admire how you've handled yourself and your bravery, because it was very brave. And I think that a lot of people that maybe haven't heard the full story will take great inspiration from what you did, and know that what's meant for you will come for you.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot more to the story, and I'll share that at some point, but
you're always welcome.
Yeah. But you know, it's good to be able to be back, you know, having conversations about who I am now and where I've been, and you know, kind of reintroducing myself to the world a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's so important. I think it's so important. You know, people in the chat were like, it must have been hard being her little sister. And I feel like, you know, nobody really understands. No one knows what it's like to walk through that, because you also love her so much.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, is people are like, you know, it must have been hard, you know, in the shadow. And I'm like, I think that's all about perspective as well. Mm-hmm. I looked at it as a light. You know, there is someone in my family who had nothing and accomplished so much. That runs in my blood. That speaks to our work ethic and speaks to who we are as people and the family we come from, aside from anything. And I'm so proud that I, literally, my sister's a living legend, and that's something to be extremely proud of. Don't get me wrong. As many doors as my last name may open, it also closes. Mm-hmm. And I'm aware of that, but I believe that, you know, I believe that there's no shadow. It's nothing but just a wonderful light that my sister's done what she's done. And I got to be her biggest cheerleader. So, no one can take that away from her or from me. And it's my sister. That doesn't have to explain who I am or what I do. Mm-hmm. It just is something I'm very proud to say that I get to be her sister. And I'm so proud of everything she's done. And, that's all that matters.
And we're proud of everything you've done.
Thank you.
You know, I didn't ask you our final question, which is, what are you doing in life to get better every day? Are you meditating? Is there something that you've implemented in your life? And then I'll let you go.
Well, for me, I obviously, on like the physical front, I have to go run every single day. It's just a moment where no one's around me. I'm by myself with my thoughts, and I'm just running. You know, you don't really have to overthink running. If you don't have to worry about lifting weights, or it's just running, that's so important for my mental health. But also I try to give back whenever I can, however I can. And I take, whether it's at night when all my kids are sleeping, I always take the moment to pray. I have to sit down and pray. And I have to really sit there and pray, like, by myself. I can't have any distractions, or else it's something that I make myself do, even if I'm too tired or whatever. Mm-hmm. It is, I make myself just, you know, really connect spiritually to what it is that keeps me going. And also just being thankful, just sending out how thankful I am to the world, because I really, really feel like, good and bad, I've come out on pretty good side of things.
I love it. Well, Jamie Lynn, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank
you. We're excited for Sweet Magnolias out May 19th, and yes, we will have to have a part two at some point.
Yes, for sure. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Take care. Say hi to your mom too for me.
Alrighty, I will. Bye, y'all.
Bye. Man, that was amazing.
Maria, that was incredible. I don't know if you saw me on camera, but I'm trying to keep it together. I have listeners texting me. I am sobbing. I am laughing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can surprise me which interviews are the ones that really glow. And like, that was, I'm going to say it, one of my favorite interviews I've ever seen you do.
Oh, thank you.
Honestly, I was blown away. Like, because I didn't watch Zoe's as a kid. I was only aware of kind of the gossip and everything around it. And like, knowing how people change over time, and like, being in this industry now, knowing like the things you hear about people versus the actual stories that are reality.
Yeah.
And it was just so cool getting to experience like, no, this is like what it was like for her. It's not the hearsay. It's not what everyone was saying when you were a kid and everyone's saying this and that. It's like, no, somebody made a decision to have a child and to get out of the industry for a bit and get a level of maturity that you can't get through other things, and become the person they were meant to be. I thought that was amazing.
Thanks. Yeah, she is so like kind of raw and unguarded, and I really appreciate that about her. And honest and just kind of free flowing. I mean, you know, Jeff, you heard me before the show. You know, you were like, okay, we can talk about this, we can talk about that. I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm not planning what I'm going to talk about. I obviously want to talk about our show, and I want to talk about Zoe, but like, anything else that happens is just going to happen, and it's just going to flow the way it's going to flow, and or it's not. And so I think it's always a credit to them, because, you know, she was open and she shared, and I mean, I lost it. I got so emotional. I was getting the chills as she was telling the story of Maddie's accident. I literally was there. I felt like I was transported. I was there every step of the way. And it was very powerful. I don't know if you guys felt the same way, but I felt like I was there.
I mean, I'm not really known as a very emotional person, as you guys know, but like, I mean, even it was getting to me in here. Like I can't imagine being in that situation. Or like the problem is I did imagine it because she was saying it, and it's like really tough.
Yeah.
I also have this feeling that we're kind of just at the beginning of Jamie Lynn's career in a way.
Totally.
Like, she's clearly very, very intelligent. And like she said, she's got Spears blood. Like, you can't take away the fact that that is an incredibly talented family.
Yeah.
She's a great actress and a great songwriter. Like, I just wonder if we might see like some Emmys sneaking in the future. I just have this feeling that
we are
going to see a very interesting chapter for her.
I think there's been a lot waiting to come out. And like I said, I'm so blown away at her maturity and saying, you know what, I'm choosing me right now and what I need to do for myself and my baby. And I think, by the way, I'm glad I remember to ask her about her dad, because I feel like nobody knows how her dad is, because Britney had canceled her tour when he was sick because it was really bad. And like she said, they thought they were going to lose him. But I hadn't heard if he was okay. So I'm glad he's okay as well, because, you know, I don't think there's been any kind of update on that. So everyone's well, she's taking off. I can't wait to watch this show. It's going to be great. And Joanna Garcia Swisher is a good friend, and I freaking love her. And she said she loved her too, off air, which was so cool. But, that was a really great conversation. So we're going to leave it at that. Thank you guys for joining us always. As we go on the journey with other people and such. And, you know, we're here for you. We're here for us. And we're enjoying every second of it. Is today Thursday? Yeah, it's almost the weekend, guys. So this Sunday, if you don't know, the Beverly Hills Dog Show presented by Purina is going to be airing at, I believe it's 8 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Central Time. DVR it. It's on NBC. It's going to be amazing. You'll get to enjoy all of the incredible breeds that are going to parade around to win Best in Show. And it's my favorite thing I get to do. And that's that. So you can follow us at Maria Menounos, at Jamie Lynn Spears, at Stephen Lemifoto, at Jeffrey Crane Graham. And remember, be nice people, make good choices, and be present.
Well, that's it for today, Heal Squad. Before I let you go, I want to make sure you don't forget to take care of yourself today. I'll be making sure I'm not forgetting to get outside, do my meditations, and of course, keep myself fueled with some sweet, chili, wonderful pistachios. Wonderful pistachios, as you know, are my go-to when hunger strikes, because they're one of the highest protein nuts, providing all 9 essential amino acids, and they're great for on-the-go snacking. So when you're ready to elevate your snacking game, visit wonderfulpistachios.com to grab a bag.